not worry too much if things don't go just the way you want it to, you know. Listen, you didn't come this morning for a production. If you did, you should have went to one of these contemporary things. They have productions every Sunday. We're here for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God to speak to us, and I sure hope he will today. Acts chapter 22, if you will, look with me in verse 23. We're going to begin reading there. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priest and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. The Jewish mob had railed on Paul and caused such a melee, if you will, that the Roman chief captain had to get involved. Now, we began reading there in verse 23. It says, they cried out, cast off their clothes, threw dust in the air. And you said, what in the world caused them to do that? The last word in verse 21. That last word in verse 21. He said unto me, "Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Notice it says in the next verse, they gave him audience unto this word. Until they heard that word Gentiles, then they got stirred up. And they just kind of went berserk on him and caused such a stir that the chief captain, he came and got involved. And there was a centurion that got involved. Now, if you're not familiar with it, these are Roman soldiers. A centurion, they're officers. Centurion was over 100 men. And he was an officer over that 100 men. And the chief captain was over the centurion, all right? And neither one of these guys, by the way, I don't think were really concerned about justice. It wasn't what bothered them, all right? They weren't the smartest men on the block either, all right? And the truth of the matter is they were on the very verge of getting in a boatload of trouble. I mean, they were in the back because they were just on the verge of scourging an uncondemned Roman citizen. Now, you might say, what's the big deal? Well, I'll tell you, it was a huge deal in that day. The Romans were in control of the area there of Palestine and a huge other area of that day. And the Romans gave great privileges to Roman citizens, all right? If you were a Roman citizen, you had some privileges over those who were not citizens. Now, most of the people in Palestine were not citizens of Rome. They were subjects of Rome. They weren't citizens, all right? And but to a citizen, you could not just do anything you wanted to do, all right? Because they had it. They, for instance, one thing you couldn't do was bind one, tie him up. Amen. He's uncondemned and you bind him? But they had already done that to Paul. They were going to scourge Paul to find out the truth. Now, really, you talk about, I said they weren't interested in the truth. Their whole idea, we'll scourge him and see what he'll confess to. Well, man, I'll tell you, if they beat you long enough, you'll confess to a lot of things, all right? And that was the whole idea. That's why I say it wasn't justice. But they were about to get in prison, or about to get in a great deal of problems because of what they were doing to Paul, who was a Roman citizen. They were going to scourge him had they done so. Whoa, man, Katie barred the door there. Their lives could have been on the line, all right? Notice, if you will, what in verse 28, the chief captain answered. He had asked, he said, "Are you a Roman citizen?" And he said, "Yes." Then the chief captain in verse 28 answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." In other words, that chief captain said, I bought the freedom to be a Roman. I paid to be a Roman citizen. Paul said this, but I was freeborn. Freeborn. I got that freedom by birth. His parents were Roman citizens. He was born a Roman citizen. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. How about your freedom? Amen. Was it bought or was it by birth? Now if you were to ask me, preacher, was your freedom bought or is it by birth? I would say yes.
Amen.
Yes. What do you mean? Well, it was both. It was both. I mean, my freedom was both bought and it was by birth. Let me show you what I mean. It was bought. It was bought, first of all, by a host of freedom-loving folks who wanted it bad enough to lay down their life to get it. All right? I mean, those freedoms, I'm talking about those freedoms that are enumerated for us in the Bill of Rights. Now, I don't know if you even know what I'm talking about. The Bill of Rights, first 10 amendments to the Constitution of the United States. And we are given some rights. They're enumerated in that Constitution. And the First Amendment gives us some. All right? First Amendment gives some. The Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is the one that's talked about a lot nowadays because it's the right to bear arms. All right? It is the right to bear arms. There's a great discussion about taking away. Hey, but it's not just that freedom. All right? That freedom was bought. It was purchased by the blood of many, many people. It began yonder at Lexington, at that Lexington Green and at the Concord Bridge. I had the privilege a few years ago of going to Boston, and one of the places we went to was Lexington. And we went and stood at that site. Now, there's a bridge over that brook there now. Now, no, it's not the same wood that was there 245 plus years ago, all right? But it is at the same place, and it was there that the Minuteman stood against the redcoats of the British Army. Amen. And it was at that Concord Bridge that a poet put it this way, the shot was fired that was heard around the world. Now, no shot is that loud from just percussion, but it was heard around the world because of the freedom that was gained eventually through those people. All right? There was a lot of people died throughout the colonies during the Revolutionary War. You ought to read. You ought to read that history. I don't like to read. Didn't ask you that. You ought to read that history. You ought to know what it costs to get the freedom you and I have. Hey, it was a ragtag bunch that stood against the might of the mightiest nation on earth at that time, and they stood and fought for that freedom. All right, they were fighting for a concept literally the world never heard of. The world had never heard of the kind of freedom that was bought in the Revolutionary War. Was unheard of in the world. Yes, sir. And when those men sat down later to map it out and put it in the Constitution, they devised a freedom the world has never seen. All right? And by the way, it's nowhere else in the world today like it was then here. All right? Those guys purchased our political freedom with their blood. All right? It was bought. Hey, not only that, a lot more blood was shed to preserve that freedom. It wasn't long till the War of 1812 came along. We're fighting the British again, all right? We're fighting them again. The Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Persian Gulf Wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, all of those places, all right? Those wars were fought to preserve the freedom you and I have.
Amen.
The only attack on our shores was on 9/11.
That's
right. All right, that has been the major attack on our shores, 9/11. I'm glad there's still some men and women that'll stand and wear the uniform for our country to defend the freedom we have.
Right.
Now, sadly, I'll tell you, I believe we're in danger not of having it taken away, but of giving it away.
Amen.
Just giving away that freedom that was bought for us. Now, I also am a free man by birth.
Amen.
And most of you are too.
That's right. Yeah.
Maybe all of you. We had the privilege of being born in the United States of America.
Amen.
What a privilege that is, all right? I was free born. You know, at the time, it didn't impress me very much. Maybe I should say the way B.R. Lakin used to say it. He said, it was such a staggering experience, I didn't speak for over a year. You know, whatever. Some of y'all understand that, maybe not. But, hey, freeborn. But let me say this to you. I got an even greater freedom 9 years later. I got an even greater freedom 9 years later when I was born again. Oh, my goodness. Take your Bible, if will. Let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 36, would you? If you were sitting here thinking, oh, bless God, we're not going to have to sit through a history lesson, are we? It'd do you good to have some, but that's not the message, okay? That's sort of the preamble and the introduction, all right?
Amen.
But thank God for that freedom. Thank God. But I got, at 9 years old, I found the truth of John chapter 8, and verse 36, where the Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Amen.
Ye shall be free indeed. You ever stop to think about the freedom you got when you trusted Christ as your Savior? Did you ever think about that? Let me ask it this way. Do you ever chafe under the laws of the land? Do they ever bother you? They bother me sometimes. We were in Missouri this last week for the funeral service for my wife's aunt, and it was especially bothersome on the way back. There was a stretch of highway. There was nobody out there to speak of, and the speed limit was 60 miles an hour. I admit to you, I chafed under the law of the land, okay? There were times where I wish I could just suspend that law or to say I'm exempt from it. If you get pulled over by a policeman, do you realize you're speeding? I'm exempt from that law. Wouldn't you like to be able to tell somebody that? Every one of you has ever been stopped by the law and they stopped you because you were speeding. You wish you could have said that. I'm exempt from that law. I'm special. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved, I was exempted from a law that affects everybody in the world. You say, what in the world are you talking about, preacher? Take your Bible to Romans chapter 8, would you? Romans chapter 8. You talk about freedom, buddy. When you got saved, you got some freedom that is just amazing. Here it is, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. The Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
What a blessing. Look at the next verse. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Amen.
Glory to God. Man, when I was 9 years old, I got exempted from a universal law.
Amen.
It is the law of sin and death. The Bible tells us that the law couldn't take care of that, but Jesus Christ could. His sacrifice took away sin. You see, before he came, all we could do was offer the blood of bulls and goats and those kind of things and try to get that put aside. But Hebrews tells us that that blood could never take away sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ could take it away. And it freed us from the law of sin and death. You said, what is that law? Well, that law states this: you sin, you die.
Right, right.
You sin, you die. Bible says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's it.
Right.
That's the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. You die. Well, preacher, you're going to die. No, I'm not.
Amen.
I'm going back there to what the Bible tells us in John, where the Lord Jesus Christ stood outside the city of Bethany with the sisters of Lazarus, and there was weeping going on. And Martha came out and said, "Lord, I know if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." And the Lord said, "Don't let it bother you." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That was Lazarus. But then he said this, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Never die. Hey, free from the law of sin and death. When I got saved 9 years old, got freed from that law. I didn't realize how much freedom I had at 9 years old, okay? I didn't understand it all then, but as time has progressed, I began to read the Bible and understand the Bible, and I realized I'm free from that law, exempt. I'm not going to die. Now, wait a minute. This old body may kick the bucket. Yeah, it's getting old. I'm wearing it out, all right? It's getting old. I'm wearing it out. And it's getting where it's not as useful as it used to be. I can't do what I used to do, you know. And I can't endure some of the things I used to be able to endure. And I maybe have to rest a little more often now than I used to have to rest. Why? Well, the old body's getting old. But you mark her down, the body's just a house that I live in.
Amen.
You're saved the same way for you too, all right? And yep, the old body's going to die. Oh, body. And if the Lord doesn't come back soon enough, one of these days this old carcass will die. But I'm not going to die, okay? I'm not going to die, but my body will. And it'll be here in front of this. They'll move the communion table and roll my casket up here, and you'll be able to come by and say, "Doesn't he look natural?" And I hope you won't think that dead looks natural, all right? You say, "Man, don't look too bad for, you know, that guy that he was," all right? But you'll come by, and then maybe somebody will be able to say some good things about me, and they'll cart my carcass out to Mount Olivet Cemetery, where we've already bought some land, the only land I'll ever really own here. And they'll lower that old casket, but only thing will be there is my body. I'm not going to be there. You're not either if you're saved. Hey, when you got saved, you got freed from the law of sin and death. You realize that? What a blessing. Freedom from the law of sin and death. But, hey, not only that, there's freedom from guilt. The guilt of sin. You know, our problem is we carry a guilt of sin a lot of times because we really refuse to accept the forgiveness God's given. We won't accept that forgiveness. And then we think, "Well, I got to carry around that guilt." And the old devil comes along and he'll wave that old sin in front of you. And feel so bad, guilty. Hey, you don't have to carry around that guilt anymore.
Amen.
That guilt's been taken care of. Hey, God's forgiveness means the payment's been made. Payment's been made. I'm no longer guilty. You realize when the Lord, our God, looks at you as a child of God, he no longer sees a guilty sinner. You realize that? Hey, we're clothed with the righteousness of his Son. And when he sees you and me, he doesn't see that old sinner. He sees the righteousness of his Son. Now, that's why the songwriter wrote the song that said, "What sin are you talking about?
Amen.
I don't remember them anymore."
Yep.
Why? They're under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Man, thank God for that.
Amen.
Thank God. Free. Don't have to haul around that guilt anymore.
Amen.
Don't have to do it. Hey, not only that, but I'll tell you this, you're freed from the power of sin. You no longer have to go around living your life throttled by sin. You just don't have to do it, all right? God gave you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God lives in every believer. And that Holy Spirit gives you and I the ability to live apart from that old sin that used to conquer us. So when you sin and you get into sin and you say what people sometimes say, I couldn't help it. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. You could have. You just didn't. You didn't. Hey, but you don't have to live anymore throttled by the power of that sin. You don't have to do it. Brother Merriam's up here talking about, he said there's millions of people in our world today that are in the United States enslaved. And they are. They're enslaved by sin.
Amen.
They're enslaved by sin. And he made this statement, and I understand what he said. He said, if people aren't saved, they're enslaved by sin. I'll tell you this, there's some Christians enslaved by sin. But it's by their choice. By their choice. You don't have to sin, okay? You don't have to sin. You do not have to do wrong. When things don't go your way, you don't have to fly off the handle and start throwing things.
Amen.
I have a temper. Me too. Any of y'all here not have one? I got enough to share with you, okay? I mean, I know what it is to lose it. Know what it is to lose it. Well, see then, preacher, you know, it was wrong for me to do it. I lost my temper. It's not my fault. It's not that I couldn't have held it in. I didn't hold it in. Big difference. Hey, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You do not have to swing by Billy Bob's. You don't have to stop by the package store. You don't have to do that, okay? I don't care who you are. You do not have to stop on the corner and look around, roll your window down, wiggle your finger, the guy come up to you and you hand him some money and he hands you a little plastic bag. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Well, preacher, I'm addicted. You don't have to be. You made some choices in life. Now, you can get enslaved by sin if you want to, but you don't have to do it. You see, I believe this with all my heart. When you trusted Christ, I believe he freed you from the power of sin. He freed you from the power of sin. You and I don't have to live that way anymore. You say, preacher, you saying I can live perfect? No, because we make bad choices. Could we? We could if we'd do the right thing. But we make choices. Because we still live in this old body of flesh. And that old body of flesh likes to sin and it wants you to sin. And it's got some appetites that wants to be fed.
Amen.
But you have to tell it no. You don't have to live under the power of sin. Hey, I believe with all my heart, been freed from the power of sin. We don't have to give in anymore. Why? We have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To help us. To help us. He lives in you. Man, just let him help you. Call on that help. I'll tell you something else. We're free from worry about the future.
Amen.
Free from worry about the future.
Amen.
Remember that old song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world except my part. That's the way we really mean it. And we sit and worry about the future. We worry about what's going to come. We worry and say, oh man. Listen, I'll tell you, he's God of the future. Just as much as he's God of the past, he's God of the future. He's in control. He's in control. I was teaching Sunday school this morning and talking about how he went to the city of Nain, and he got to the city just as here they come. A funeral procession carrying the body of this boy that had died out to bury. And I said to the folks there, that wasn't an accident. That timing wasn't, well, I'll be, look at that. No, the Lord knew it. The Lord knew it. Hey, when he went by Samaria and got to Jacob's well in the middle of the day that day, it wasn't an accident he showed up when he did. He knew that old Samaritan woman was going to be there. Let me tell you, he knows what's in your future too. He knows it. We don't have to sit and worry about the future. Well, preacher, I just don't know what's going to happen. Me either. But I know the one that does know.
Amen.
I'm trusting him. I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid growing up, I never worried. I never worried about where the next meal was coming from. Never. Never crossed my mind. Wherever we were, whatever was going on, I never worried about it. We were, one time we were on a family trip, and all of a sudden smoke started coming out from under the hood of the car, and Dad pulled over, and I was sitting in the back seat just fretting. I wasn't worried about anything. I wasn't worried, nothing. I thought, wonder what's going on, you know? I did wonder. Turned out a water hose had bust. And we're out, you know, somewhere, and I never thought, what are we going to do? I never did. Now, why? Dad's here. Dad's here. Dad's going to take care of everything. My dad was, he was a 10-foot tall man in about a 5-foot, 8-inch frame, as far as I'm concerned as a kid. He could handle it all. I mean, never worried about anything, period. Because Dad take care of it. Dad take care of it. I'm going to tell you, I got a heavenly Father. He can take care of it. He can take care of it. I don't care what the future, what's coming. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to worry about it. Preacher, what are you going to do if the Democrats get in control? I ain't worried about it. My fault. I'm not worried about them anymore than I am the Republicans getting complete control. Hey, I'm trusting the Heavenly Father. He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of the future. There's no reason for us to worry and fret about it. Why? Free from that. Free from that. Hey, wait a minute, though. Let me draw this down. You see, usually when people, nowadays we get talking about freedom, we talk, I can do whatever I want. I got freedom. I can do whatever I want. Well, you don't have that kind of freedom. Look, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 2, all right? 1 Peter chapter 2. The Lord freed us, but he freed us for a reason. All right? He freed us from guilt. He freed us from law of sin and death. He freed us from the power of sin. He freed us from worrying about the future. Freed us from guilt and all that kind of stuff. Well, why did he do that? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, would you look at verse 15? For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You know why God freed you? So you could serve him. He freed you that you could serve him. He said, don't worry about the future. I'll take care of it.
Amen.
I'll take care of it. You don't have to worry. Say, well, Lord, I don't have time to serve you. I'm trying to get ready for the future. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. You serve me. You serve me. Well, you know, I just struggle so much. Don't worry about that. You're free from that. The devil has no more power and control over you. You're free. Just serve me.
Amen.
Just serve me. Hey, we've got a freedom not to do our own thing, but to serve the God who saved us. He gave us that freedom, and he gave us the freedom so we could serve him. What a blessing. I don't have to worry about how my 501, no, that's not, is that what a 501? No, 401K had the wrong numbers, all right? You can tell I'm really up on it, okay? I don't have to worry about my 401K. How's it performing? I don't have to worry about it. God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me. You know, I don't have to worry about the stock market, you know, if it's up or down or somewhere in between. Why? I believe God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me. Now, I don't mean you got to be stupid. I don't mean you can't make any investments. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying this to you. I'm not worried about those things because God said, I'll take care of you. You just do what I say. You just do what I say. I'll take care of you. Peter, come on out of the boat. Keep yourself focused right here. I'll take care of you. You can walk on the water. If the Lord wants you to. If the Lord wants you to. I'm saying to you, we're free. Bless your heart, freedom is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Wonderful blessing. But we have to never forget that just because it's free to us doesn't mean it was free. Doesn't mean it was free. We talked about the great price paid for our political freedom that we have in our country. The greatest price ever paid was the price that was paid for the sin of mankind so that you and I could be free from the law of sin and death. Great price paid. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. How dare you think I can do what I want to do? Live licentiously. No. I can live like a free man. I can live like a free man and ought to do that. But don't give it away. Don't let somebody take it away from you. And with that freedom that's in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be taken away from you. That's why Paul and Silas had blood running down their back in the middle of the night, in the middle of the jail, and they were singing.
Amen.
They were singing. Said, why? They were free men. That's why. That's why. They could just carry on. Listen, my friend, you and I, freedom we have, we're to use it to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him. To serve Him. Now, that doesn't mean you have to become a preacher. That doesn't mean you have to surrender to the mission field. You're already living in a mission field. There's people around you everywhere that are lost and on their way to hell, and they need somebody to tell them about Jesus Christ. That's the freedom you have to do it. And the great thing about it here in our country, we got a great freedom to do it. Those signs up that, you know, say don't do this or don't do that, and that mean you can't witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you can't do that. I've been to numerous houses, no soliciting. And one time I mentioned it, and the guy that owned the house said, oh, I didn't even know the sign was there. I bought the house. It was here when I bought it. You know, you say, well, what about that? I'm not soliciting anything.
Right.
I don't tell you, when I knock on the door, I'm there to give something away. I'm just there to tell people about Jesus Christ. That's why I'm there. Hey, I'm telling you, we've got freedom. God gave it to you. Do you have it? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Hey, if you are, you were born into the family of God. You got freedom by birth. But it was bought for you on the cross of Calvary. It was bought, paid for. Now, what are you doing with that freedom? Well, I'm frittering it away. Just let it go. No, we're to use it. You're given that freedom that you could serve the Lord by the will of God. Will you do it? You take that freedom and put it to work. Put it to work. Not to do whatever you want, live your life just any old way you please. No, to serve the one who died for you. Are you doing that? Our Heavenly Father, I pray today You'd help us. Lord, help us to see You've given us freedom. The freedom we have in this country, we could talk about it for hours. Lord, You gave it to us. It was a freedom that was bought with the blood of many men and women. But Lord, You gave it to us. It's a freedom that's founded on the Word of God. And Lord, we thank God for that freedom. But Lord, even more so, we who are saved, thank You for the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, we've been freed from a law that affects every other man ever born on this earth. But Lord, we're free from that. We don't have to carry around guilt. We don't have to be under the power of sin. But Lord, we've got the ability to live for You. And Lord, would You help us to see and use that liberty to serve You. Lord, maybe the day we're here and we're truthfully, there's some that are still enslaved by sin because they chose to do some things. Lord, I don't know what that sin is, but they do. Nobody else around them may know, but they know and you know. Lord, would you give them the courage to walk this aisle this morning and confess that sin and ask you to forgive them, and they forsake it right here. Go back with a freedom, not throttled by sin. Lord, would you just help us, speak to us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.